Okay, I'm sorry about the line down the middle. It's something to do with my copying machine. So what we're doing here is we're going to start learning tonight what the Rashba says about the Leviathan, about the large fish which is supposed to be designated for the tzaddikim to eat in the world to come. And so the Rashba has a very long piece here, which goes on, you should see half of it on this page. But I want to go through it a little bit slowly, and we're not going to finish it tonight, but whatever we do will be good. Lisi Peirush Trasha Gadot Mir Rashba. So on the way it says, Amar HaKosei. So I saw an interpretation of some Agados, which is actually a separate sefer, which they just came out with, the commentaries of the Rashba, which one of the great Rishonim, on the Agados of Shas. Actually, most of the sefer is what he wrote on this, in this piece. This is a huge piece. But it was so from among them, Harifa Peter Josa Goda, he spent a long time explaining this Agadasa, Ya'us is proper Latiko the Khan to copy it here, in the Zelotron. And this is what he said. Now, he starts with something which we haven't seen, which is that, but it's a famous statement, the Tzaddikim in the world to come partake of the Leviathan, right? That's what they eat. So he says, Al Tachik Leos with Tzaddikim, don't distance saying that the tzaddikim, the olam haba, in the world to come, will have tu'uda kipashi advarim, that they're going to have a meal as it means in its simple sense. In other words, their whole school of thought, headed by the Rambam, which holds there is no physicality or material existence in the world to come. So therefore, according to the Rambam, clearly every Gemara which tells you that they're eating a meal cannot be taken literally. So the Rashba says it's not so simple. Don't necessarily follow the Rambam on this. So he says, what is the Rambam's complaint? The Rambam's complaint, and although he doesn't mention the Rambam by name, is Shabolem Zal B'mitzvot HaGadot V'Talmud HaMidrash. So that which we find that Chazal in some stories in the Talmud and the Midrash say that there's a Leviathan. That you might say Shane Tachas Lohem Zal. There's no purpose for them, both of us Udos, for those meals, because Kavanas HaMachol, the purpose of food is the Tadmili HaKeret, is in order to fill one's stomach, or in order to have Goron, and to have the pleasure of one's throat. She'ein Zeh in Yon Ho'olam Abba. You know that that's not the matter of the world to come. What's the matter of the world to come is a spiritual place, says the Rambam. It's a spiritual place. We don't want to, people are interested in filling their stomachs and pleasuring their mouths. Right? So the Rashba is going to disagree with this. Ella shekfar noida. It's already known. Shebitsata ma'achal v'mishter, with a little bit of food and drink, yo'oru koko sagu. There will be aroused the powers of the body. So we have koko sagu, and when the powers of the body are aroused, yo'oru yitzchaku, there will be awakened, and fortified, gum cane, also kochos hanefesh, the powers of the soul, l'eiz inyan, to whatever matter, shechavei lov ho'ochel, which the person who eats has in mind, lam shicham, to bring them, u'hayshirom, and draw them, a love to himself, and he's going to explain why in a moment. But let's before we go on, see how he explains it. He's saying very fundamental principle, which we say numerous times a day. You say the bracha of Asher Yosa, right? And the bracha of Asher Yosa says, ends with Fekha Basar u'machli la'asos. So the Ramon, Shulchan Aruch says, what is machli la'asos? What's the pele? The pele is that Hashem sticks, the amazing thing is that Hashem sticks the body and soul together. Body and soul are antithetical to each other. One is material and one is spiritual. What this bond, this artificial bond of body and soul, is a very remarkable thing. And it's counterintuitive. But what makes that bond? What makes that bond is the digestive system. That's what that bracha is all about, right? The bracha is all about the digestive system of food, which sustains a person, not just sustains his physical body, but also his spiritual body. If you don't have food, your soul departs your body. If you do have food, your soul and body stay together, right? So when a person eats, not only is a person influencing his material existence, but he's also influencing, perhaps more indirectly, but he's also influencing his spiritual existence. Now, there are different foods, obviously, which bring about different emotions. Those emotions which a person had, and different, and not just the foods themselves, which is a very subtle thing, but different manners of eating, places of eating, engaging in the process of eating, which brings about different emotional states, that can be a very spiritual thing. That is, you can eat food and become spiritually elevated because the food, together with the setting, makes you a much more spiritual person. He's going to explain that himself in a little bit greater detail. This is the fundamental principle which underlies a lot of Hasidus. A lot of Hasidus is based on the principle, the Hasidus practiced by the real Hasidim, is that you don't get much out of fasting. Because fasting is the absence of food, and that doesn't really vitalize the body in any way. It's a good atonement for sin, but better yet, according to Hasidim, is to eat food, and not delicacies. You know, they're not into delicacies. But eat food, enjoy it, and thereby propel your soul into a higher.
Is it for fasting?
No. They don't do it on fast days. They don't take optional fast upon themselves. Many great tzaddikim throughout the generations took optional fast days upon themselves, particularly Mondays and Thursdays. So the chassidim don't take optional fast days upon themselves. So much so that now it's considered, the chassidim was so successful with the revolution of not being an optional fast days, and now it's considered to be a very strange thing for somebody to come and decide you want to fast. But before the chassidim came along, you want to be a holy person, what did you do? You fasted, right? So it was a very big revolution, a tremendous novelty, that people did not have to fast in order to be holy. Okay? You're lucky you're born now, not beforehand, right? Okay, so I have one more page here. So now he explains in greater detail. We are, in the first column, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down. Okay? Letisha ma'achol v'amishter, for the last four words in line, because food and drink, see, both kidolos are great causes. L'simcha talei, to have a happy heart. U'l'archikoi tavon, and to distance sadness, radaga, and worry. If you eat enough, sometimes you drink. Eat enough, then this makes you happy, and it takes away sadness and worry.
So if I go to a roller coaster park, that takes away sadness and worry and makes me happy.
But much more briefly. Much more briefly. Yes, it is a roller coaster park. It's quite an expensive way to use a to evidence a shame. But hey, you know, that's...
But
you
roller coaster?
A roller coaster.
What?
I think of a lot of things that get up with your stuff. Maybe they're...
It's bad to do things which are illegal. It counts, if they're illegal, it counteracts any positive benefit.
Right.
But, you know, it says, well, we've discussed this in the past, it says in Mara Bsukha that the wine and fragrances make people smart. What do you think they mean by fragrances? They mean, you know, the sub-in and it makes you smart?
Okay. I don't think potheads are so smart.
What?
I don't think potheads are so smart, though.
It has to be, neither are drunkards. Yeah. It has to be done in an extremely limited manner. Okay. Going on, and this perhaps was the intent, being on Yitzchak of Binu Olav Hashem, with Yitzchak our forefather, when he asked Esav to bring him delicacies, when he came to give his son his blessing. Uvir HaKavana, and he explained what he meant. But Omar, when he said, give me delicacies, to Varechach HaNashi, in order my soul should bless you. My soul. Bavur Tavarechach HaNashi. Omar, he didn't say Bavur HaVarechach. He didn't say, just because I'm going to bless you. He said, because my soul will bless you. Because if I'm happy, then I can give that much of a better blessing. Okay? You see, this is such a big chiddush to you, all this stuff.
Okay, what if somebody were to have, I'm just throwing this out, heroin.
What?
Okay. Could that be seen as, if it's going to lift?
Let's try opium.
Opium.
Okay.
If that makes you feel better, is that uplifted?
Yes, but the problem is that it's usually abused. The reason they allow, they outlawed all these things, because people are not using them in moderation.
You
can
use it for pain relief.
Not just for pain relief. Also, smoking per se has some drawbacks. But hey, for many years, people were big smokers, you know that. Right? The Baal Shem Tov was a big smoker. Chaim Brisker was a big smoker.
Really?
Everybody smoked. It was not.
Until
the 1960s, the overwhelming majority of the male population smoked.
But they used to think it was healthy. They didn't know.
Right.
Rav Moshe originally said it's hard for that.
What?
Rav Moshe originally said that it's fine, you shouldn't start, but if you're already smoking, it's like someone...
Yeah, but that's when we actually found out that it's bad.
Right.
They only started being widespread, known on a widespread basis, bad smoke in the, I don't even know if it's late 50s, the early 60s. So still then, who didn't smoke?
What?
Yeah.
Now,
because we know it's bad for you now, right? I'm talking about 1950s. He's probably smoking stuff in 1950s.
The Greek Kabbalists never realize it's bad for you.
Why should Kabbalah tell you that it's bad to smoke?
Fears of your body.
Fears.
Join
Yossi.
Well, Kabbalah, doesn't it say things before, like it's going to happen, like in the Gemara and Megillah, like it says, like it's an event?
No.
It's only happening
to you. No. You can't predict anything from Kabbalah unless you have Ruach HaKodesh. And Ruach HaKodesh certainly has to be very, very high form in order to know that smoking is bad. They said about Shem Tov with his pipe, he was doing that void of the Kseret. On a small level, you know, not, of course not the real thing, but something like that. What? No, I'm sure it smells good. Mm-hmm. Okay, pipe tobacco, really, pipe tobacco smells very good.
Does that smell great?
You don't like pipe tobacco?
Before
I got married, my wife made me stop and smoke a pipe. It was great. Okay, Captain Black Vanilla, that's the word.
I'm
just
putting cigarettes down. It's completely different than just regular tobacco. Or just
grown
tobacco is like pure than
Kamala. Okay. Now, the special for the next thing, which the next positive thing about eating, he says, is Mitzvah was there, add on to this. Oh, in addition, Mashanasna Torah, the mitzvah Torah, that was the Torah gave in its mitzvot, a korbanos, the tzivah, sacrificial offering, the tzivah bohem, and command about korbanos, both achilas on his back, that the fire of the altar should consume the korbanos, and babaylim, the owners, and Vakwanim, and the priest. The Kula Mishulchan Gavola Zochim. And they all get it, the language used by Chazal is from the table of the Most High. I mean, it really comes, this food comes in from God. This is holy food, the Kavanos. And of course, people who eat holy food are uplifted by that holy food. Otherwise, there'd be no mitzvah to eat the karbanos. The mitzvah to eat it is because once the food is consecrated and part of it is going to God, certainly the rest of it uplifts you as well. And he says further, v'kvayadata, you already know, Masha Omer, that which the rabbi said, v'akru osam, they should eat them, the karbanos, asher kupar bohem, those who are atoned for by the karbanos. Those who atone through the Kabbalah, actually. Uvah the Kabbalah mitzvah, and we have a true tradition, Kabbalah obviously means Kabbalah, the Perusho teaching us, Melame Shachonim Ochlim Balim Iskaprim. If the Kohanim eat the Karban, the owners get atonement through the Karban. So to say, the eating is part and parcel of the divine impact of the Karban itself. V'otireh, and you should also see, Kasuv, it says, Vayikach Yisro, when Yisro came, Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, when Yisro came to the desert, it says, Vayikach Yisro, Ola Zvachim Elokim, Yisro brought Ola, and Ola is a carbon which is completely burnt on the altar. Zvachim are animals which you eat in a normal fashion. In other words, there's a carbon in the base I mix, it's called a carbon shlomi. A shlamim is an animal where you slaughter it, you put the blood on the altar, you put the fat on the altar, the rest of it you eat. Anybody can eat. So here too, he brought not just an olah, he also brought zvachim. Vayavo Aaron, and says Aaron, b'chol dignei so all the others of Israel came, lechol lechem to eat bread, in chosei Moshe with the father of Moshe, lifnei Elohim, before God. The Aduan is known, the Sudas Aaron, that the meal of Aaron, the dignity of Aaron, and the elders of Israel. The Gospel of Shmuel, also described in Tanakh, is the meals of, are the meals of Shmuel, the Katan and Nevi'im, and the schools of prophets which were with Shmuel. Shalohei Tzatakis HaKavana, it was not the purpose and intent, Bohen, in these meals, the time of the mouth for the pleasure of eating. The kibbutz and the other men gathering people together, lechol lishtosi mohem, to eat and drink and make merry together. Rakuchavei aleit, rather was to direct the heart, ulamshicham shocha, and bring down from on high an influence, the yadiyos hamuskolos, to know profound things. So eating was a way actually to provoke a prophetic experience. Why? Because eating makes you happy. And you can only have a prophetic experience if you are happy. If you're morose, depressed, you can't become a prophet. There's that. That's why they know this list about prophets, of course. The Tanakh tells us that when Elisha was depressed and couldn't get in the nevuah, so he asked for somebody to come and Elisha. He asked somebody to come and play a harp. He asked somebody to be brought to play a harp in order to make him happy, in order that Nebuah, he should be able to get Nebuah. So of course, eating is a similar thing.
Isn't the idea of eating being a taiva to an extent?
To an extent, yes. But the Rashba says, only to an extent. Look at all the other positive things that are about eating.
Like eating too much
of you. Of course, everything has to be in moderation.
Question, but since one person, let's say one person has a big appetite, should one person judge him based on it? Because like no one can tell someone else's appetite. Like some people eat.
One head or your glutton.
Yeah, well, yeah. What? This is obviously a loaded question. Well, who's bothering you? Why are you bothering me?
I'm just teasing. I think it's fine.
Okay. All right. Let's go on. So it's come a fourth time, as is well known, the Indian Shmuel, by the way, for those who are still following along, we're opposite the second hole on the page. If you, for some reason, this page, the whole page has holes in them. So come a fourth time,
the hole on the left side or the right side?
the hole on the on my right side. So it's a regular, what? It's regular. That's kind of furta. So furta meaning a small, or maybe you have it reversed. Being small, the lakatsanayin of being, as is well known about Shmuel and the company of prophets, home being a love, they were standing by, with him, and he was standing by them, umitnabe, and prophesizing. Yora Ol Alzeh, which what also indicates this, is Amru, Amro, the Torah is saying, Binyan Yisro, in terms of Yisro, that he was Bidnei Elohim, was before God. And because of all these reasons, the Yoser Chazokim, and they are even more stronger, the Yosa Ma'amodos Ha'im, because those gatherings, with Soni Lomar, which I mean to say, are La'olam Habav, in the world to come, Yosin Chbodim, are even more impressive and spiritual than those which are possible today. Yitochein Yos, it's possible to be, Hasudos Ha'im, that those meals will be Latzadikim, for Mibasor V'dogim, from this meat and fish, Nibru Mishesh's Meibeshim, which were made during the 6 days of creation, Latakri Sazeh, for this purpose of becoming more spiritual. Ubatakri Sa'omeh, and it'll be with the ultimate pleasure, She'ein Ho'lam Ra'ui La'Sihilah, which our world is not worthy of attaining, Zulat Yonah until comes the world to come. But Osam and those, She'ein Mizumani Mosa Suda, those three will be invited to that meal, She'ein Takri Sa'mevukash, that they are the ultimate purpose of Amina Enoshi, of mankind, they are going to be obviously people who eat on a different level than we eat in our day and age. The answer is possible. And Rashi has another thing. The answer is possible is Osanam HaKolim, that those foods, Zakei HaTeva Me'ol, are very pure in nature. 100% pure, 100% organic, 100% natural, no additives. And they're extra special, organic and natural, because they're made at the beginning of creation. Everything which we have today has already deteriorated for the course of thousands of years of existence, right? So everything today is full of carcinogens and pathogens and bacteria and all that kind of nasty stuff. But this food, which is still there from the initial 6 days of creation, and it's the same with Yosef. Since then, it's a much more healthy food, right?
Was this?
What?
What food is healthier?
Leviathan, the big fish.
Yeah.
Okay? He's saying that since it's not just much more healthier physically, obviously, but it's much more healthy spiritually. Because it's more pure, more refined. That's like the mon, right? The manna in the desert was a very refined, high level of food. It was food. It did sustain them. It was nourishing. But it was very high refined and gave them a higher form of existence as well. So he says further, the Yosa Marbin Hasekhabativa, maybe they're so pure that they can add to you intellect. They can make you smarter. They're like spinach, right? They can make you smarter, Bativa, by their very nature. Inyon Shekasuv, like it says about the Garden of Eden, the Nechmada Eitz, it says about the tree, the good tree of life, that it was delightful. The tree, it says delightful lehaskil, it's delightful to make them intelligent. That's actually what it says in the Chumash. The Nechmada Eitz lehaskil, the tree was delightful to make you intelligent. Gam Yodua, Yossi, pay attention. Gam Yadua Hayom, it's also known today, Bimiktasa Samim, in certain forms of drugs. Samim is more in Hebrew for drugs. Vamisadim, and those things which nourish you, Shehem Bativa Mo'ilim Lazeh, that by their very nature, they affect you for this. Koshkin, certainly not true, Osan Shenibu Mishashis Yimei Breaches, those who created the sixth creation, Ulayah Kavana Zu, maybe they're for this purpose, Ubaruch Kel Emes, and blessed is God who is true, Hayodeh Emes, who knows the truth. Several years ago in North America, when I was teaching Shir, so we had a British guy who, and we got to talking about drugs, and he said that he spent 6 months on a beach in Thailand, high on magic mushrooms. And he said, there is no experience like magic mushrooms. It is incredible. It is the most spiritual and transcendent experience. Spiritual and transcendent experience one can have.
Yeah, but I rub Zeb left club strongly against any kind of mind altering drug. And I was sure about it was very human.
Of course it's bad, because we don't know how to use these things. It was bad for him too, in an absolute sense. But it happened that they did. I read in, I think it was the Wall Street Journal a few months ago, magic mushrooms were, I forget the exact scientific name for them, but they were outlawed in the early 1960s. Till then they were legal. So there was a study done in the early 1960s. They had a control group to which they gave Ritalin, and then they had a group of individuals to which they gave magic mushrooms, whatever the chemical is, which makes people high in the mushrooms, and they gave it to several types of people, among them groups of priests, Roman Catholic priests. And these people, they followed for many years, and these people many years later said that the most overwhelming, transcendent, spiritual and religious experience for them, which made them more religious for the entire rest of their lives, probably about 40 years later, was that experience on mushrooms. The Ritalin didn't do the trick.
What?
They're
on drugs.
But it was a religious experience for them.
Yeah, but they're Catholic.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Can't you guys think, with an open mind for a moment?
Rabbi,
that's how you supposed to do this. Don't do it. But I'm just saying, think with an open mind.
I'm a very straight-laced, like, sincere with God, but I'm thinking now that this might be a good idea.
Yeah, I don't believe for a moment. Straight-laced, sincere, that's not you. You have red hair.
They didn't say they had visions.
They felt spiritually uplifted. The people, the other people had other types of experiences, but the priests, they really felt this profound religious experience. So the art can listen.
Yeah, because the normal religious experience is null and void.
Oh boy, you guys. You guys are such cynics. Right? You're really cynics.
The drug itself is the drug that you already have. They say about Mohammed. Well, if you're in the desert and you take peyote, of course you see God.
Okay, I tried. Alright.
I'm with you, Ro. Just take now.
Great. Okay, Rabbi, so let's go further. There 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 lines to the bottom of the first column. The name Nitan Aman. The man was given, like I said before, is much Nitan Atar when the Torah was given. The Shanishba Shefa Nevua Ala Dorahu. Then they got, this caused there to be a good, tremendous prophetic spirit in that generation. Repiki Mina Mire Men Yono, because that which seems to be the concept of the man, it was proper and very suitable for a nation mutadim, who are destined l'da'at amitot, to know truth. And to look into muskolos, intellectual inquiry, and into analysis of our complete Torah. She includes everything. And to make them independent intellects. Kolin Nifradim is usually the term used by the early philosophers to talk about angels. They're Seichel Nifrad because they are a brain, a mind, a soul independent of the body. So those Jews who were in the desert had prophetic experience which were angelic in nature. They're able to at Mount Sinai, they're able to transcend the normal limitations of the physical body and perceive things which normally the physical body does not allow them to see.
Like seeing sounds.
Seeing sounds, right? also by Yamsuf it says, when the Red Sea was split, it says that a maidservant on the Red Sea saw greater visions than Yechezkel saw later in Jewish history. So there was all sorts of stuff going on there with the Mon. And it says, actually David, and to the point that David Alava Shalom, Mitzapeh Chazeh Hashem Yisborach, he tells over the kindness of Hashem, with me and he is astonished. Echaya Eshar Lazun Ish. How is it possible to nourish a person? Mitzad Shu Ish, who is actually in front of a human being, the Muslim come home with such food, Hami Asher Atesha, which strains a person's mind. Rasina Muskolos, and to attain the intellectual attainment, Kiskal Nibran as if they're angels. Vuamar, that's what David Amalek says in Tehillim. Lechem abirim achal ish, the bread of the mighty here refers to the angels. We're eaten by human beings in this case. Loma, to say, you appear in the sons as if I should sustain them. Midavar ra'ui liyos from that which is worthy of being. Lechem abirim, the bread of the mighty. In other words, the malachim, for angels. You have to turn up your cell phone before class. Okay. V'yaru, Yeru Alzeh. He falls in all these bathrooms. He falls in all these bathrooms from Toronto here. Okay. Yeru Alzeh, and what indicates this is Yeru Alav, Omer, that which it says, Achal Ish, that a person, a man eater, ate it. Valkain Omro Zan, that's what Chazal said, she told me both Kolom Atamim, they tasted it in the month, all the various different tastes, you know that, right? Because the Medrash says that whenever they ate mon, they could taste in the mon anything they wanted to taste, right? This was proper for a nation which Ashkim Binyanin were involved in matters, Kolim Koladeos, which involved all types of awareness, I guess would be the best way to translate that. In other words, the way they were able to make them on taste as whatever they wanted to taste was by an act of will. It wasn't by changing the molecular structure of the mon. It wasn't by the mon taking a different shape. But because their minds were expanded by this mon, so therefore their mind, they could use their mind and will themselves to taste in this food any taste they wanted to taste. That's deep. Did you guys get that?
That's pretty cool.
What?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay, that's what the Rashi was saying here.
But even if the Shas that they didn't know, they were slaves for 200 years in Egypt, how did they know to taste anything else besides...
Food was really good there, they said.
Besides bread and water.
Yeah. The food was great.
Levium taught them how to like taste different foods, right? Because they didn't know...
I don't know, it says that they said we have lots of delicacies in Egypt. That's what they say, fish.
Right?
But
I also heard that they had lots of the entire time they were in Egypt.
So that's when they were working. The Jews in Egypt didn't have to work on Shabbos. That's true, isn't it? Not the fish. Whatever else. Yeah.
So after the Shabbos period, they basically all went into one big trance altogether. So when they came out, their mind was like expanding.
Is it not when they came out? Also, in the trance itself was an expansion. Well, right. A prophetic trance is an expansion of the mind.
Yeah. So right after the Matan Torah, I mean, a big type of like.
Fake trance on a global,
but sort of like a nation.
Yeah, national.
So when they came out, they were sort of all.
So, Ross, before
you
second. What?
So when they came out, they're all in like. So, how did the grind, for example, the Baal Shem Tov, all came these heights, just being a little. I mean, obviously they came out of Egypt, they came just in a trance.
You know why? Because they ate for the sake of heaven. We ate for. Because we have big appetites.
Just little children that just sort of somehow stumbled upon the, I don't know, technique of eating for the sake of heaven.
Who?
Brian the Baal Shem Tov, right? Yeah. How did they achieve these?
There was always this strong tradition in Judaism, but it was only for the people who are tremendous cut above, right? But you see, throughout Jewish history, there are people who had divine revelations, and evidently they got it because their entire existence was directed towards that. and therefore everything which they did impacted them in a positive way, which propelled them towards that goal. We call the moron factor. Since nowadays everybody's a moron, so therefore we're incapable of doing things for the right purpose, and that's why we remain morons. Yeah.
This is kind of a
simple
question you've probably done
over
before, but
do
you think
monsters have to be
in
the
natural?
I don't know. I if it has to be an act of will,
so
I don't think so.
Anything like traits?
Anything which you have a residual memory of, you can make a taste like.
Yeah, but how about the people born?
Huh?
How about the people who are born and that's all they was mine?
Well, nobody ever only ate monkeys.
Right,
they had whale, they had sheep, they were mostly meat diets, but they had matzo. So, I don't know. I assume that there were ways in which they could process other things as well, but maybe not. Maybe you're right. Maybe the people who had them on in the desert didn't feel any other taste until they got, because they never had any taste to their build-up.
What about when they said, that we want meat and...
Those are people who left Egypt. The people who left Egypt. He's saying if a kid was born in the desert and all he ever ate was mud, how could he taste something else, right? Somebody went back in time and told somebody in the desert, Yanko, there's such a thing as ice cream. Imagine the mud is ice cream. It wouldn't work, right? Okay, so... Valkane, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom of the first column. They're pretty close. Valkane Somo Razal, that's why Chazal made the mon a remez, an illusion, the mazan at tzadikim to the substance of tzadikim olam haba in the world to come. Amram, they say, the chadiga, the seventh chadiga, shetokin berakia ploni, that they grind in, the malachim grind in a certain heaven, mon le tzadikim. Mon for the tzadikim for the world to come. Yimehei osein elokim advar kipashon, and if we are taking the matter literally here, al tachel leino, don't ask that answer question, mimash omer abasein, but that was what our rabbi said, ha'olam abo, the world to come, ein bo lach kilo, has no eating, lo shisiyah, no drinking. Yisho'onu ma'amin, right, it's a good question, because there is a chazal, there's a message that says, all my boss has no eating, no drinking, and the Rambam takes it quite literally. The Rambam says, in the world to come, it's completely spiritual. No, nothing physical goes on in the world to come. So he says,
all my boss,
what? All my boss. He says about the same. No, no.
You want
yeah, but he's the Rambam.
Wait, so wait, if he holds that way, then how does he have to maintain?
What?
He has to maintain,
temporary state.
He doesn't consider that holding.
What?
He doesn't consider the Tchiyat Mayim in this world the Olam Haba.
Right. It's just it's a temporary stage. So he says, Olam Haba, and we believe, Olam Haba, the world to come, he comes to us, Tzadikim Begufo Sein. The Tzadikim will enter with their body. Yebo, and they will be in the world to come, Ki'inim Moshe the Sinai. Like happens to Moshe Mount Sinai, he went, so to speak, into heaven, in his body, when he went up to Har Sinai. Heaven is right. It's not spatial. It's not spatial. Even though we use the heaven as a metaphor, the actual spiritual heavens are not spatial. So therefore, you don't have to go up literally in order to go up to heaven. It takes place when your mind is expanded to the point that it is in contact with heaven. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu could stay on Mount Sinai in a body and still experience heaven. That's what happened to him. And if you want to say this, he says, you want to say this, that this makes you feel better, says the Rashba. You can say that the tzaddikim world to come will be Ki'inyan Elio v'Chanok. Be like Elio and Chanok, the two people who did what? Went up to heaven alive. So he says, what happened to them? So, Shomer Rabbi Seinuzal, the Chazal say, I don't know where they say this, but Shinasa Bisoron, that their flesh became Kalapide H. Their flesh became like, torch is a flame. Lapide is a torch. So he says, what does that mean? It could be that the function of the body changes in the world to come, just like it changes on Yom Chanuk. And it could be that it's constantly changing. To change it this way to that way. In any event, though, there's going to be a moment which distinguishes between the first activity, Lishnia, and the second activity. And therefore, at least with the first activity, Rega, a moment within, Yushalem, Yugam, its custom should be completed. And then we'll start the new minhag. In other words, says the Rashba, perhaps the word like Elyon Chanok, that they start off with a regular body, and then in the world to come, and then they shift gears, and they become like whatever that fiery body that we all was. But he says, but listen, there's got to be time, at least the moment, in which that first state takes place. Because what he's saying is, he's taking the Tchilas HaMeisim is occurring at the beginning of the world to come, right? And that Tchilas HaMeisim is in a corporeal flesh and blood state. So therefore, it says the Rashba, that has to exist for some time, at least for a moment. And only afterwards would we go, if we do change, into that more spiritual, flaming, fiery state of existence. So he says that we're at the top of the second column now. First line. Ulayla sa tuda, and perhaps that meal, hamutedes, which is best in latadikim, for the righteous, tiesotadman will be the end of the time, shenoibo in a pulus of gavdios, in which the physical activities of the body, the machol mishen in the drinking, and perhaps after this meal, yisbatel mehem will be taken away from them, by mamarahu, as they're eating, right? Before, I don't know if it's after they bench, before they bench, but as they're eating that great meal, so then they, Yoshin, are going to be uplifted out of that that state, and ascend to a higher state, sitting about the same Hashem with their crowns on their heads, with Adnim, enjoying Ziva Shin, the radiance of divine presence. The Tiyan Hasudahi, and that meal will be for them then, Kin Hateres, right? Hateres is the culmination. Shmini Hateres is the culmination of the entire Rosh Hashanah until Sukkot period, right? Shavuot is the culmination, also called Hateres. It's the culmination of the period from Pesach till Shavuot. So that meal might be the culmination meal, the Hateres, where everything is drawn together, the grand finale. And El Shazek Hashlum HaKodesh, the Zekach from Machol, it's just that Hateres in our world means when the holy times are over, the high holidays are over, the period from Pesach to Shavuot is over, the Zek, whereas the meal of the Rebiyosan will be Tashu Machol, will be the end of mundane activity. So as he says, it's possible that maybe not all of Olam Haba is spiritual, is physical, but certainly it begins physical. Okay, so then the Rebiyosan could be taken literally. Okay, now, we're 4 lines down in the second column. We should also know, they're created in the lower realm, in Yon Gufaniim, physical entities, Shem Tzulos, which are models, with Tzulos the Rachmios, for the spiritual models. Meaning, for example, he says, Kigan Eden. Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, was a physical place in this world. But that physical, and it probably still exists, it's just we don't know where it is. But that Garden of Eden was a reflection of a spiritual Gan Eden. And everything which exists in this world has a corresponding spiritual entity which is in charge of it, is linked to it, of which the thing in this world is a reflection. So, for example, Chazal says every blade of grass has a malach, an angel. So it means that everything which is physical has a spiritual force which corresponds to it. So the Rashba is saying that everything material is a manifestation or reflection of something spiritual to which it corresponds. So now he explains it.
Is it true that Alexander the Great, he knocked on that maiden and he said, let me in on the emperor and
more atonement.
I don't remember the story, it could be.
More atonement.
Want to try to say that?
Long atonement.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Okay, could be. But somewhere in Pakistan.
I've heard of Afghanistan.
Can't you like Google Earth and find it? Wouldn't you like it with
it? Yeah, get a vacation package.
It was bombed by that, I think.
And maybe you can, trust. You never know.
Wikipedia.
So he says, the king had eight, so being on Hashem's bark, which Hashem told us the Torah, so Hashem in the Torah, which is completely true. Simonov is science, in other words, how you would search for it on Google Earth. We made Sonov, its boundaries, Norosov, and its rivers. By our toast and the land, came Sovimoso, which surrounded Lyos Adam Rishon Omebus Ochop. For Adam Rishon stood in it. Ochope Rosov, he ate its fruit. And with Adin, and he was deriving pleasure, being none of a good name in its material existence. By Pachris Badan, the Norosov, and the ultimate purpose of this garden, and its rivers, the Inyanam, and all its matters, the Inyanam, and its trees, his bonin behem was to understand from them the muskolos intellectual matter, shame surah for him, which they reflected, of which they are a shape. So in other words, right, the tree of life, Eitz Chaim, we say is a physical manifestation of
life.
Come on. Eitz Chaim in a book, right, Torah, right? So this was, if you ate the fruit of the Eitz HaChaim, you would
get Torah knowledge.
Yes, you'll get Torah knowledge.
Like what Torah knowledge?
I don't know. I didn't eat it. But that's the idea is that if you act, these were material crystallizations of spiritual content. So it was if you ate of the tree of good and evil, which they did, so evil entered into their system, right? So the idea was that everything here, which was physical, material, had all represented the spiritual in a very direct and obvious way. It's true about everything in this world, but it's not true in the same manifest and powerful way it was true in Gan Eden. Gan Eden was a much more powerful the form of that.
So, also, what's the name like you said with Eliyahu? When
Eliyahu went up to Gan Eden? Eliyahu didn't go up to Gan Eden. Eliyahu's bodily form changed.
He bowed to fire?
Yeah.
No, but what I don't understand is there's no up there, wherever he went to, Zeh Hashem Hashem Tzadikim, right? There's no bodies up there.
Right. So the Ramban at the end of Brachos,
yeah,
the very, very cryptic Ramban, but basically what he says, I'm paraphrasing, okay? He says that there's this big spiritual closet where Yo and Yaakov and a whole bunch of other tzaddikim, they hang up their bodies when they go up to Shemayim, and they put their bodies on when they come down here. So they do have bodies which are very spiritual bodies. That's what it means, like a fiery body, which don't have to be sustained by human means. But when they're in Shemayim, right, as you're saying, it's not spatial, they're not wearing the bodies. The body's like a coat which they take off and put on.
So instead of their coming a Gilgal through a body, they could just come one step down.
Yeah. Right. Okay? So he says, we are also commanded the Melachos Gufniyos in physical activity. We Yosam Tavnis, because they are a form with Tavnis, who are the form above. Ulutfuna Samiskolos, and for understanding intellectual things. The classic example is Kinyon HaMikdash V'Kelo, HaMishkan V'Chol Kelo, like the base HaMikdash and the Mishkan, and everything which was in it, those all represented things which went on in heaven. Harei Omer HaMishkan, and it says about the Mishkan, see and make the Mishkan Ketam Yisom in the form Asher Atomor Ebahar, which you were showed in the mountain, which we saw in Shemayim. Vramani said, in all the ways I show you, the form of the Mishkan, the form of all its kelim, all its implements, its vessels, the chen tasu, and so you shall do. So it says, the Rashba infers, since it says, the chen tasu, and so you shall do. The Lama chen tasu, it doesn't say, do like this, It means that it means that you are going to make something similar. Not that I showed Moshe Rabbeinu the actual Mishkan. I showed him the spiritual corresponding aspect. Then you do something like that on earth. And that Mishkan, that Beis HaMikdash will correspond below to the Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan Arai. That's like we say, there's Yushalayim Shamata, Chazal say, is Mechuvan Kenegi Yushalayim Shamata. Now, we ran out of time for tonight, but what he's going to go on to say is that besides Luzer, which we'll see next week, for those who are still here next Wednesday, is that we're going to see, that the Leviathan is also not just a literal existing physical thing, but also reflects certain divine concepts, right? So Leviathan is like a living metaphor for certain things which go on in heaven, certain things which are divine. And we're going to explain in great detail how exactly that works.
We are Jeff, why is Jeff, what the Japanese eat so much whale?
What?
Maybe that's why the Japanese eat so much whale.
They eat whale because they think it's Leviathan.
Yeah.
But
in
the
case
it's a duck.
It's a fish. No, but first of all, a whale, in Chazal, the breathing apparatus doesn't distinguish between a fish and a land animal.
Or a scale, though.
Right, but it doesn't have scales and fins. It's
not kosher,
it's not
for me.
Yeah, you assume that the whale is Leviathan, not me.
So wait,
in
modern Hebrew,
Has that fins and scales, that's all. You know the famous joke, right?
That's what I'm making up.
And the Olam Habah there is, the meal consists, he's going to go into this in detail, of the Leviathan, which is the fish, and the Shor Habor, the great ox, the wild ox, which is the corresponding thing. So the question is, why do you need both? You know the answer? It's not funny. It's a joke, but it's not funny. The answer is, for those who don't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechita, they have fish.
During the third base, do we know anything about it?
The third base is like the first and second.
It's like the first and
second. In this world, because in Moshe Mashiach, we Moshe Mashiach are identical to this world, except that there's no more, any longer, any persecution.
There's other opinions, probably a lot of other
opinions. Yeah, but that's the opinion which is accepted. That's the predominant one. So if even the Rambam says it, it must be the case. Yeah?
Can it all be metaphoric? I mean, how am I going to believe?
Yeah, he's going to get to that also.
We're going to eat a big fish.
He takes it. Okay. He's going to get to that. What? So then we're going to get more into the metaphor aspect. That actually... In other words, the sukkah, that means that there are certain people who can inject this, whatever the thing is. There are certain people who can only have some sort of external connection to it. In other words, if you learn Torah, and Leviathan represents some sort of spiritual attainment through Torah, so then you inject it. If you didn't learn Torah, but you had affinity to Torah, so then there are gradual levels of smaller and smaller connection to Leviathan. Yeah. There's more later on, but back to the music down too. Okay, everybody tight. Have a good night.
Yeah.